Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele. Thanks to Scarecrow, your local kitchen, florist and grocer. Go to scarecrow.co.nz.
Rita.
Kia ora.
What's
How
up, yo?
You know, they do flowers at Scarecrow, and I'm not dropping this in so that you can say it, but it is my birthday this week. I'm going to go to Scarecrow and get myself some flowers.
That might be quite sad if you go and get your own flowers from Scarecrow.
No, screw that.
Get Will to get them for you.
Oh, John's just John knows the name of your husband.
Crack the whip. Well, get into Scarecrow, would you?
This is my same theory with getting you know, married to Stephen Ring. Just buy your own ring, right? It's just a stupid reason to get married. I can just buy my own flowers. I'm my own woman.
Oh, quick. Yeah, I don't know about flowers. I always get a bit sad about flowers. There's like a good window where they're nice, but then there's also the window that I just leave them on the table all shat out and I just feel shit about life looking at them. So.
Yeah, and I am with you on that. It was one of the reasons why I very rarely buy them, because there was a sad period where it's like, oh, you were once in your prime, you know? Like,
such a microcosm.
I get a bit deep on it, actually. But I'm going to go and get some.
Well, just on that, this week we do have drinking chocolate, a coffee and a tote bag available from Scarecrow. Good fine sponsors of this Sustaining Life segment. What are we talking about, Rita? Maybe best comment can win the prize, so to speak.
Well, we are talking about the New Zealand farmer protests that we saw across the country over the weekend, or Friday, I think it was.
What do the farmers want, Rita? What do they want?
Well, I thought I would cover them.
Were they protesting for the nurses to get paid more?
There are a lot of reasons to protest in this country, and I don't know if I would put these up there, but everyone that does have a right to a whinge every now and then.
Do they have the right to drive their tractors up the motorway with no warrants or regos? So.
Oh, go on, don't even get me started. Hey, before we jump into this, I do also want to say that the local council AGM, so all the local councils in the country, got together the other day and voted to reinstate blanket tree protection. So they're taking that to the government, which is really awesome, because, you know, I'm always banging on about how we're cutting down urban trees left, right and centre.
Yep.
So it's really awesome to see that our local councils are starting to realise that it's a major problem. So
Ka pai.
That's a bit of a side note. So for the local New Zealand farmer protest, so they sort of had, there was a lot of reasons, and some of them were completely unjustified. Some of them were racist, some of them were sexist. Uh-huh. Some of them were just massively misinformed. In fact, a lot of it was massively misinformed, which you'll get at any protest, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there was a few areas that I sort of raised, because they are in the environmental space, and it is good to be sort of aware of them. So, I mean, just before anyone bangs on about the fact that I'm an urban, born and bred, central Auckland person that knows very little about a cow.
I'm from Silverdale, so I've got this covered. Don't worry about it.
You've got this covered.
I put my hand up a cow's butt. I've done that with massive plastic bag on your arm. It's weird.
I did not see a real sheep in life until I was 14. So
I've been
stood on
by a horse. Keep going.
Have you? That's impressive.
Well, it was really scary, actually.
And now, go on, tell us through about how you owned a goat and you spray painted it and then
my
ran
next
away.
Door, yeah, that's a story.
Oh my
but
God.
The gnarliest,
you're basically a farmer.
The gnarliest livestock story I've got is, apart from the time that I crashed my bike on an electric fence and I was trying to get the bike off me and it was burning my leg and I was getting like that intermediate shock. And so every time I tried to push the bike off my burning leg, I'd get a shock and have to restart, and a cow came over when that was happening. I remember making eye contact with it. That was weird. But also, the next door neighbor was just mucking around the house one time, or out on the field or whatever, and a bull tried to, like, get down on him, and it fractured his back.
Oh, my God.
It, like,
God.
Jumped him
oh
from behind.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. I've never been more happier to have grown up central Auckland.
Now, country people rule way harder than city
no,
people.
No, totally. And I will preempt, I will preempt this with the fact that I have studied them before anyone jumps at that.
Mm.
That has meant spending quite a bit of time on farms and talking to farmers. And talking to farmers was the most eye-opening experience of my life. So I'm very much so not anti-farmers. And that is why I do want to cover some of the issues that are going on here. So
they're
really
out there doing the hard mahi and feeding the country and the rest of the world.
Yeah, well,
mostly the rest of the world.
Feeding the country is an interesting one.
Mostly
feeding
the rest
countries.
Of the world. Yeah. That's
yeah, and mainly milk, which is not that helpful for the world. But anyway, so one of the areas that they are protesting is this thing called the Three Waters Reform, which government, I guess, take back of our water system. So that's our drinking water, our rate of the water that comes down from the sky into our house. So that also comes our wastewater and our storm water. So those three areas, I should say infrastructure, really. And across the country, what we've seen is townships in those areas and some townships not. No one has kept up, really, with growth. So the government's kind of gone, okay, kids, we're taking it back off you a little bit. So it's kind of, from my perspective, and probably from the farmers, it's sort of come a little bit out of nowhere. That said, there have been decades of talks with all those involved in the water systems, especially farmers. And in the meantime, our fresh water has continued to degrade. So their talks aren't getting anywhere. So I think they're taking the opportunity to go, you guys can't sort it out, we're going to sort it out for you. This is a big problem with, because like I say, the talks with farmers aren't getting anywhere. So this is, something has to happen. Whether or not it's three waters, and I think even as counties, it's something we should be, especially Aucklanders, it's something we should be concerned about because of the entire country, we've probably invested the most in our water infrastructure. Even though we're still not keeping up with growth, is still a lot. And if we're going in and just pooling our investment with towns that have spent nothing, then we may kind of, I guess, lose out a little bit in that situation. But it's something certainly does need to be done. What they're protesting is that they haven't had any say in this. No one has had any say in this. Mm-hmm. And also,
but when you're so used to sort of controlling the government, it must feel a little bit weird when something happens and you can't control it. Sorry, guys.
Absolutely. And like I say, they say, oh, we haven't been consulted.
Oh, we pretty much write policy and they didn't ask us about this policy kind of thing.
Yeah, when we do consult you, nothing happens and things get worse. So
is this related at all to the time that they drove all the tractors to the beehive not that long ago? Didn't a bunch of tractors drive to the beehive?
That was for the emissions trading. That was for
the fire tax.
Yeah, well, by the way, we've ended up with a worse situation, which even farmers are saying, oh, yeah, we probably should have gone for that original one because it was better. And that's probably we need to make a definition here between farmers and federated farmers because there's a lot of farmers doing a lot of good stuff. Right. For their waterways, federated farmers actively fight against it. So, for example, the fencing and the planting of the waterways.
You betcha.
That is something that a lot of farmers actually kind of agree with. Federated farmers fought and fought and fought and won the right for that not to be legislated.
What's the federated bit? Is that like a union of dairy? All right, the cow ones.
Yeah, mainly dairy. But there is lamb and beef in there, but mainly dairy, and it is very anti-environment.
Kind of like the Empire
and
Star Wars.
Does sound like the Empire and Star Wars.
Yeah, doesn't it? And it kind of is, to be honest. So, but what I do want to say about Three Waters is we should all be a little bit aware of what's going on with the Three Waters because I look at the website. Although I've worked in the space of fresh water science. I'm only to undergrad level. My lecturer was Mike Joy, who's the country's leading scientist. Russell Death, who's also one of the country's leading scientists. They're all massively worried about our fresh water, which has been in decline significantly since the 90s. And I look at this and see how much money is being spent on PR, how much money is being spent on the website alone, and I just think, yeah, it's really convenient to sort of go, oh, that work we've done in the past, all those guys like the Dr. Mike Joys, Dr. Death that have been going out and surveying the fuck out of things, and then they just go, oh, we're just going to change the metrics for everything. It's a really convenient way of kind of like changing the goalposts. So I just, to me, it's just warning bells already that something isn't quite right about the Three Waters. What it is, I'm not entirely sure, but I think we should all be a little bit concerned, and we should all be shouting like the farmers are, like, hey, we need to be consulted on
this. We should all be riding the tractors.
What does it mean, though,
in general terms?
Does it mean planting out waterways, putting fences in, running less cattle?
No, it'll be more talk fest. So so bear in mind that stuff, that planting, that it's not actually legislated. It's actually just a volunteer scheme that, and some councils require certain size rivers to be planted out and blah, blah, blah. But all the feeder rivers, so all those little, you know, 80 centimetre streams that run through, you know, 80 centimetres wide that run through, there's hundreds of them that run through farms. They all feed into the rivers and there's zero regulation over those, none whatsoever. So, and they're the ones that are actually a big problem because they're feeding into the big rivers. So what this kind of means is, I guess, one body to overlook all of it. And so there'd have to be kind of like a blunt instrument that goes, okay, cool, well, you know, you can do this and that's the rule across the country or whatever. And that changes things a little bit. Just like they tried to do with a river needs to be swimmable. Oh, no, wadeable. Like, that sounds, well, actually, it sounds terrible that a river should only be wadeable. But when you try and do a, like, broad stroke approach like that, it's kind of it misses the nuances of how river systems and work, because you're not including things like braided rivers are quite different to the Waikato or whatever. So it is something that we should all be very aware of, and I think all be watching and seeing what our local councillor are doing about Three Waters and what is Auckland's infrastructure going to be like under this system. So Three Waters is definitely an area that I think is concerning. Not just for farmers, but for everyone. The other one, which is a very quick, I'll just quickly remember this, is EV.
What? Say that again, sorry. Say that again.
Oh, the EV tax is okay. The second kind of area.
Electric vehicle, so got you.
Yeah, electric vehicles, sorry. So this is the new regulation, which is trying to encourage people to buy an electric vehicle. Now, whether electric vehicles in the long term are sustainable is a whole other topic. We can certainly not completely replace petrol cars, but petrol is dying and is completely unsustainable. So it does need to happen to some extent. So the government's put in a subsidy, and to pay for it, so it's a cost-neutral exercise, they have put in a fee for high-emitting vehicles. Unfortunately, some of those vehicles are farm vehicles. Mm-hmm. So I had a quick look, and the average farm vehicle cost go up by new vehicles, by the way, only will go up by about $3,000
a year, or just when you buy one?
No, not a year, just at the beginning when you buy one. Now, we need to bear in mind that these guys are writing off that cost, they can claim that back in tax, so and depreciation on the vehicle. So it's really a non-start. Do you know what? Whenever I hear anyone complain about EVs, even though I'm not completely on board with them as a solution, whenever I hear anyone complain about them, I just think about people in the 1900s complaining and missing out on their horses. Like, but my horse, I'm like, really? Like, you're complaining because you don't like the idea of change. Like, that's just move on. And there is EV vehicles for heavy duty work.
Were there any electric tractors in the horde of tractors? How many tractors were there on the motorway that day?
So there were quite a few. It was a pretty significant protest. Right. And then the last area that is probably the most significant, which is a bit of a play on words there, is this thing called the significant natural areas. Mm. So in 2018, we had a piece a policy statement come out that is, you know how we have the Resource Management Act, it's very fluffy. So they make these policy statements which try and help support the Resource Management Act and how what that actually means on the ground. And so they had one for the Indigenous biodiversity that came out in 2018, and what it gave was an overlay on properties, or what it's suggesting is an overlay on properties which demonstrates significant natural areas. So these are areas, important remnants of natural habitat, so they have rare or threatened plants or animals on them. Now bear in mind, you would think in New Zealand that land that is like that, for example, if you had a forest stand on your property that has kiwis in it, one would think that is protected. It is not. There is not one piece of legislation that protects that stand of trees. So what this is trying to do is identify those areas that say, hey, yeah, that area has threatened species on it, we want to protect it. Now, bear in mind that there is a lot of farmers that do a lot of work to try and protect the significant areas, the beautiful, naturally biodiverse parts of their properties, they do, some farmers do a lot of work to protect those, right? So what they're complaining about here is that they're mapping these out at the moment, these areas, and there are some farms that are getting parts of their farm protected, and they do not like that. Mm. So there was a good example of a farm on RNZ the other day. The farmer came on and he said that they had bought their property in the 1970s and it was entirely wetland. They did not drain it in the 1970s, even though in the 1970s it was subsidised to drain wetlands. Go New Zealand. They did not do that. So now they look like they're going to have this entire property put into significant natural area. Now that's quite significant, 100% of their, or almost 100% of their property being put into this area. They're complaining because that will decrease the value of it. So what they're really complaining about is that they can no longer completely degrade their property and destroy their land to make a profit.
It's lost all now, industrial farm potential.
Yes, a loss of 100%. Now, I understand that in some parts because everyone likes to be able to do what they want to do with their property. The problem is that thing, we have moved on from the 70s. We now know that wetlands are important. We now know that we shouldn't be draining them and turning them into dairy farms. So it is unbelievable that anyone in this country would complain about a natural area being protected. So 100% of a farm is a pretty extreme example. There's lots of places that have a forest stand with some kiwi in it, and they're being complaining because they want the right to be able to one day cut down that forest and turn it into a piece of put a dairy factory or whatever the hell they want to do on it.
Or property, and, right? Like it could be like a subdivision or something.
Or a subdivision, totally. And we've seen some suburbs in the past. Like we've seen places, we've seen this happen to people and their loss of, you know, this is my land, this is my rights. But we also remember what we value in New Zealand. And I guess what this does to me is it massively exposes a major flaw in our economic system, and that's that we value these places in our mind. We value that we have kiwis. We value that we have, beautiful wetlands and unique species, but we're not willing to put our money on that.
Yeah.
So to me, it's an absolute exposure of the fact that we are not valuing these things within our economic system. And what we need to be doing is paying for, because they have they don't just have a value of, oh, they're nice and pretty, and I like to know that they're there. They also have a value in that they're functioning ecosystems that do a job for us. So a wetland, for example, is a buffer between water and the river, and so it will slow down the water so there's no flooding downstream, and it will also clean the water as it goes into the river. So it has a very good job.
We're kind of talking about people with just stations of land, though, right? Like, and just going back to the car part, essentially, if you buy a new car, it's going to cost you a new truck, only a new one. It's going to cost you an extra $3,000, and you can write it off to tax anyway if you're a farmer and using it for farming.
Yeah.
So, but fuck, who is buying brand new vehicles? Like, this is rich people problems, like 100%, clearly, right?
Oh, 100%. 100%. And it's hard.
I don't know anyone that buys new cars. Like, that's ridiculous.
No, like $3,000 is really not the end of the world for these people. I mean, those sorts of farms are actually earning quite a lot of money. So they can write it off. It's not really, like, you might end up costing them maybe another $600 to $800. So yeah, I mean, to me, that SNA one is really important, and you know, it's not actually the people that should be marching and have marched are Māori, because what's happening there is they're having big chunks of land put in these SNAs, and it was sort of like, you know, us Pākehā came through like 150 years ago, destroyed it, and then made heaps of money off it, and now we're like, oh, actually, we really like the Kiwi, so you're not allowed to do that to your property. You have to stay poor. Sorry, you know. So I can totally understand why they're complaining about it. But to me, the biggest solution here is that we actually pay for these ecosystems. So then people value them, because at the moment they're like, oh, it's just worth nothing.
Yeah.
Whereas if we were going, actually, it's a carbon sink, we're going to pay you for the fact that it's a carbon sink. Then all of a sudden they're not going to complain about having to protect it. So that's kind of what's going on there. So this is not an environmental issue. But there was also some complaints about the suicide rate amongst farmers, which is completely understandable. The suicide rate in this country is shocking all round, and there's no exception in the farming community or rural community. When I've talked to farmers, a lot of them are saying that the suicide rate has increased since they began farming. A lot of the time because corporate farms have moved into their township and is killing the town. So what they do is they have farms, which were 10 families, and then those families move on to the city or whatever, another place, and then all of a sudden there's a lot less people in the community, a lot less support, a lot less people next door to talk to when things are going wrong. You know, the town starts dying, there's a lot less shops, you know, open. So the suicide rate is much more complicated than
do you know the stats on that? Is it mostly males in that kind of stoic, shall we write, attitude?
Yeah, it is. I mean, that whole, you know, I hate the term toxic masculinity, but there is.
I think that's an actual thing. I think it gets thrown around fucking ridiculously,
definitely.
And I think it's watered down to this point, but some things are toxic, and that can be male or female.
Absolutely. Yeah, and also, like, you know, the rural towns I've been into, like, you know, and things like homophobia are still really huge, and you know, if you're neurodiverse and you're weird, those sorts of things don't help either, right? So, you know, or you went to school and you weren't an A student, and so you get a name for yourself, and next thing, you know, like, it's, that sort of stuff can kind of, like, breed some pretty unhealthy mental health issues as well. So, I mean, this genuine.
Rita.
So, like, how do you then get help into these small communities? People just start moving to the middle of nowhere, hurry, you know? So, I think, you know, that wraparound service in these rural communities is absolutely needed and probably one of the most valid things to come out of that march.
Right, right. Interesting. Hey, Rita, we're just getting a couple little breakup issues towards the end here, so we should probably wrap it up. Thank you
no
so
worries.
Much.
Sorry about that, guys.
No, you're right.
Got the gist of it anyway.
No, we definitely got the gist. And we should just shout out to everybody. We are giving away one pack of Ocho Spiced Drinking Chocolate, one bag of Kokako Organic Coffee Beans, and a Canvas Scarecrow Tote Bag, all thanks to Scarecrow. I knew that all these things were going to be, like, real specifically buzzy, like not just normal drinking chocolate, not just normal coffee. We have all these up for grabs. If anybody would like this little pack, it's thanks to Sustaining Live and Rita Steele and Scarecrow. Give us a text on 53955. Thanks so much, Rita. You're a legend.
No worries. You guys have a good week.
Toodles.
Bye.
Sustaining Alive on 95BFM. Thanks to Scarecrow, your local kitchen, florist and grocer. Go to scarecrow.co.nz.